calls them my babies, public school students she informally adopts in the roughest section of Oakland, California, near San Francisco. They call her Ma, Mrs. Oral Lee Brown, a most remarkable community activist who stepped up to the plate starting in 1987 and promised 23 children an entire first grade class. If they study hard and graduate high school, she'll somehow scrape together the money to put them all through college. And she's been true to her word. Have you had a chance to attend any of the college graduation ceremonies of the young people whose education you sponsored?
My kids?
Yeah.
Have I had the opportunity?
Yes.
I took every one of my kids to college. I enrolled them in college. I set up their dorms or their apartments. I went to see them while they was in college. And I attend every graduation. Everyone. These are my kids. Just like I went to my biological daughter's graduation, I'm on the front row. These are my kids. No, I did not give birth to them, but I am there. Oh, no. Mm-mm. And that's a given. I mean, what parent would not go to their kid's graduation? So, no, you know, at some point, these really became my kids. No, I didn't give birth to them, but they're mine.
So when you're sitting in the front row of the graduation of a child you've worked with since they were in first grade and who you've helped and paid for the education of, are you beaming?
You know what? I'm crying, first of all, and then they're crying, and when we finish crying, and then we hug, and then it's like, Jesus, thank you. This is one that don't have to go to a welfare line. This is one that don't have to sit up and do drugs, nor sell it or use it. This is one that life has been changed forever. God, thank you. That's, you know, it's for them.
One of Oral Lee Brown's babies, a talented young musician named Jeffrey Tony, wrote this song for her entitled Real Life Angel.
Didn't know words, don't explain what this lady has done. I was placed under her wing and she made me a son. I mean, what more could somebody ask for? You search for the window of opportunity. She bring a door and you can't ignore the fact that she's black. Plus she's a little woman from Mississippi, so her back is built from the inside out. She's a strong single parent, you can tell from the words that come out her mouth. Jeffrey, just hold on, listen to your heart and follow your dreams. I guarantee nothing will go wrong.
Born into a family of 12 children in Batesville, Mississippi, Oral Lee Brown says she grew up very poor on a cotton farm and very repulsed by the racial prejudice she saw around her. She eventually moved to the Bay Area, where she earned a bachelor's degree in human resources, with tuition mostly paid by her employer, Blue Cross. Later, she became a realtor, earning about $45,000 a year. Then one morning in 1987, a chance encounter on the streets of Oakland would transform her life.
And it was around 10 o'clock, and I started to the store to get me a bag of Spanish peanuts and a soda, Pepsi. And as I stood on the corner of 94th Avenue and East 14th Street, waiting for the light to change, a little voice came from nowhere and said, "Lady, would you give me a quarter?" And I looked down, and it was this little kid about 8 years old. And I said to her, I said, "I'm on my way to the store. Come on and go with me." And so she and I went to the store. And I, you know, she just looked up as, you know, "Are you really going to give me a quarter?" And I said to her, "Go and get whatever you want."
The child picked out bread, cheese, and bologna, which Oral Brown paid for. And then the little girl disappeared. But for weeks afterward, the incident haunted Mrs. Brown, who couldn't stop wondering why this timid child was begging on the streets. She assumed the girl was enrolled at Brookfield, the local elementary school, probably in first grade, and so Oral phoned the principal, certain she could identify the child.
Mrs. Peaks called me, and she said, "All of the kids are here today, Miss Brown. If you'd like to come over, you can." Jumped in my car, you know, because, you know, I'm excited. I'll get a chance to see her again. We went to both classrooms, and that child was not there. And I don't know. I don't know where it came from. I just looked at the principal and said, "Well, can I adopt the whole class?" And at this point, it was like, she said, "Lady, who are you?" Because I'm sure, you know, she and I have talked about it later. In my mind, she's probably saying, "Who is this woman? You know, this child does not exist."
So this was a spontaneous offer on your part to mm-hmm. adopt the class?
Mm-hmm. I had to literally get over the shock. I mean, because when I got back to my car, it was like, what have you done? What are you talking about? And so Mrs. Peake said to me, well, you know what? We don't know. You know, we got to do a background check on you, you know. She said at that point, she just didn't know what to think because, you know, we couldn't find this child. And so she finally said, well, I have to go through the Board of Education. Let them know what you plan to do, and I'll get back to you. And you know, maybe it was a month when she got back to me. And she called me one day. She said, Miss Brown, I have it all set up. I'm going to set up a meeting with the first grade class. You'll come over here so you can meet the parents. You can meet the teacher. Find out what you want to do and let us know.
So at what point did you actually make the offer that you would financially put these kids through college?
When I met with the students and the teachers and the parents and everybody, that's when I made the offer to them. What I wanted to do was to be able to come to the school at my free will. Anytime I had a council appointment, I was at the school. I wanted to be able to go there and bond with them. I would go and be a substitute with the teacher and stuff. And then once a year, I gave $10,000.
To a savings account on their behalf?
It went in a trust account. Mrs. Peake's minister named Frank Gibbard and myself was the first three trustees of that account.
So how did you manage to set aside $10,000 a year on your salary of about $45,000 a year?
It was easy. I left Mississippi making $2 a day. So to have $45,000 a year, it's a gold mine. That was never the hardest point to me. When I made the commitment, and in reality set in that, you know what, you got these kids for the next 12 years to 16 years. It became another bill. And so that's the way I've always looked at it, and I still do. It's a bill. It's a bill that I made, and I have to pay. And so, number one, tithes come off of my paycheck, and number two is the kids. And then whatever's left is for Oral Brown and whatever.
Did you say tithes come off?
Tithes, church. I have to pay my tithes to God. You know, that's number one. God is number one in my life. Mm-hmm. So I have to take care of my obligation to that, my 10%. And then the kids are second. And then whatever I have left, then it's mine.